Social expectation drowns us all inside. What you have should be what I want, 'cause what I have just ain't alright. The clothes I wear, the way I comb my hair, how I live, oh, I don't care.
Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen, wassalatu wassalamu ala rasulihil kareem, sanadina wa shafi'ina wa maulana Muhammad, wa ala alihi wa ahli baytihi wa dhurriyatihi wa azwajihi wa sahbihi ajma'in. Ya Rabbi salli wa sallim daiman abadan ala habibika khairil khalki kullihimi. Allahumma anfa'na bima 'allamtana wa 'allimna ma yanfa'una wa zidna ilma. Subhanaka la ilma lana illa ma 'allamtana innaka antal alimul hakim. Rabbi shrah li sadri wa yassir li amri wahlul 'uqdatam min lisani yafqahu qawli. Rabbana yassir wa la tu'assir wa tammim bil khair wa bika nasta'in ya fattah. Allahumma ij'alna du'atan ilayk wa ila rasulik amma ba'd. Today we start on something which is called nisbat. This is a translation of the original book Rahi Salamat Tumhari Nisbat. Rahi Salamat Tumhari Nisbat, which literally means the way of salamat, the way of peace and safety lies in your nisbat and connection with Allah. This is by Hazrat Maulana Dhulfiqar Ahmad Naqshbandi and translated from the Urdu by Umar Ahmad, also Naqshbandi. Allah says in the Holy Quran, A'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajim. Walladhina jahadu fina lanahdiyannahum subulana. And those who strive in us, those who strive in our pathways for our sake, وَالَّذِينَ جَاهَدُوا فِينا, those who strive in our pathways, in our turuq, in our subul, for our sake, for our pleasure, we will certainly give them hidayat. We will certainly guide them unto our paths. Surah Al-Ankabut, verse 69. To understand this book, we go to the translator's foreword. He says, Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen, all praise is due to Allah, Lord of the worlds, and may peace and blessings be upon His final messenger, Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. The universe, the world, the science, known as tasawwuf, is a strange phenomenon. It is a journey of love, fear, excitement, anxiety, and a host of other states, ahwal, that the seeker, the salik of this path may experience. It is a marvel that how through the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, this ummah has been blessed with a strange radiance and nur that will permeate the heart upon the first interaction with its bearer and propel the individual head high in the filth of sin towards an instantaneous flame of divine love that will act as a blast furnace for the evil within. Blessed be Allah, who has preserved this prophetic nur and radiance through the majestic hearts of the pious. 8 years ago, this individual moved from the Silicon Valley to Lahore and has since witnessed strange episodes in this world of authentic spirituality, true spirituality. People would come from different walks of life and experience different levels of moral downfall. But the moment they would give their hands in the hand of the Sheikh, their spirit, their ruh, would literally teleport itself into the universe of piety and worship. It was as if the heart of the seeker was the court of Pharaoh, Firaun, and the spiritual attention of the Murshid would take the position of Musa's staff. Ala Nabina wa alayhi salatu wa salam, engulfing the fake serpents of carnal desires and shaitan, leaving the individual in a state of perseverance similar to the Fir'aun's magicians when he tried to force them back into his ways, saying, verily, we have believed in our Lord so that he may forgive our faults and whatever magic that you forced us into, and Allah is better and eternal. Surah Taha. I, that is Umar Ahmad Naqshbandi, Damod Barakatuhum, he says, I have been blessed and fortunate to have been gifted the spiritual guidance of Sheikh Dhulfikar Ahmad Naqshbandi, Damod Barakatuhum, carrying a perfect combination of engineering and religious education. Not only has he professionally served in the highest stations of Pakistan's corporate world, but Allah Ta'ala has also blessed him with the highest stations of the religion, deen, such that he has carried the light, the nur of Islam, in more than 40 countries and thousands of scholars and pious people are amongst his disciples. A tree is obviously known by the fruit it brings forth. In fact, when we were in India last year, April, May, he was also there. When we were in Durban, he was there. When we went in Bangor, he was also there. This book is an addition to this, and Allah really accepted him, because wherever he went, hundreds and hundreds of thousands of people used to be in. Bangalore was about 100, 200,000 people were there. This book is an addition to the scores of other pearls of knowledge he has written. A complete guide for the student of this path and a shortcut towards attaining his goal, the pleasure of the eternal beloved. The translation of this was performed under the auspices of Hazrat Dr. Shaheed Uwais, Damod Barakatuhum, who is the Khalifa of Sheikh Zulfikar Ahmad, Damod Barakatuhum, based out of Lahore, and the proofreading was done by Brother Wasif Farooq. The reader is requested to apprise of any faults and remember those who render this in English in their heartfelt prayers. May Allah Ta'ala forgive this minute endeavor of ours, full of error and falling short of his criteria, but we hope of acceptance out of his limitless bounty and mercy, Umar Ahmad Naqshbandi. So Hazrat Sheikh Maulana Zulfikar says, this is a prologue like a muqaddama, he says, when Hazrat Pir Ghulam Habib Naqshbandi Rahmatul Alayh, when he placed the immense responsibility of Khilafat on these humble shoulders, speaking about himself, for a while it seemed as if I was in a trance. How could this humble being referring to himself, ever be able to fulfill such a responsibility of Khilafat, which was placed upon him by Hazrat Pir Ghulam Habib Naqshbandi. Then a session of love-filled critique pulled me out of this perplexity. He said, "You have been ordained by your elders to carry on this task, and you did not choose it by yourself. Hence, carry it on without any hesitation." Thus, this faqir started to teach the name of Allah to his servants and has since witnessed a profuse flow of the blessings of this divine light. Whatever direction was set foot upon, people would enter the spiritual Naqshbandi order in large, large numbers. What of the beautiful roses rank? What of mine? O fresh morning, this unison is but owed to thee. With the immense influx of people came the added and crucial responsibility of indoctrinating these salikin with spirituality. A large number of students would give the bay'ah, they would give the pledge, but they would remain unaware of the manners and requirements of this path, and consequently they would remain devoid of attaining the station of nisbat because of the faults of those who have taken the bay'ah. The need of the hour was to educate the travelers of this path that there is only one purpose behind them attaining the company of the mashayikh and engaging in litany or worship, which is to strengthen their bond with Allah, nisbat. Hence, to fulfill the responsibility on these shoulders, this book was written to help the seekers set their directions and goals. It is hoped that it will prove beneficial to the student of spirituality. May Allah Ta'ala reward Dr. Shaheed Mahmood Naqshbandi, damat barakatum, with the divine radiance of Nisbah, for he was very helpful in the preparation of this book. The readers are requested to keep this faqir in their duas. Ameen. From the bounties of the generous lies a portion for the humble earth. From the bounties of the generous lies a portion for the humble earth, with prayers and requests for the same. Faqir Zulfikar Ahmad Naqshbandi Mujaddidi. Chapter 1, Definition and Explanation of Nisbah. What is Nisbah? An especially deep connection of one thing to another, an especially deep connection of one thing to another is called Nisbah. This connection leads to a difference in the value of things. Hence, when something of lower standing becomes attached to something of higher standing, its value becomes elevated. There are numerous examples of this in our daily lives. Nisbah and the change in value. Look at it. Two bricks were prepared in a kiln. One brick was placed in a toilet and the other in a masjid, but they are prepared in the same place. The same bricks prepared by the same person, placed by the same individual, with one becoming associated to a washroom while the other brick to a masjid. One is where we would not even tolerate stepping barefooted, and the other is where we rub our foreheads in reverence in sijda. How did this change in value come about? Truth is, there was a change in their nisbah connection. The esteem of a masjid. The entire earth has been created by Allah. yet he did not promise to make all of it a part of heaven. Allah did not promise that the whole world will be part of Jannah. Albeit, that portion of land that is transformed into masjid, which now bears a connection to Allah's name, it will be made a part of the Baytullah in the end of time. It will, all these places where masajid stand on, they will all be made part of Baytullah in the end. And eventually the Baytullah will become a part of Jannah according to a hadith. Though it was the same piece of land that people would tread upon and animals would excrete, but the moment it bore a connection to Allah Ta'ala's name, it became elevated to the extent that it will eventually become a part of Jannah. Subhanallah. Barakat of Nisba. Value of a Quranic binding. The scholars of fiqh, Islamic jurisprudence, have decreed that if a piece of cardboard becomes bound to a copy of the Quran such that they become as if one, then it is impermissible to touch the cardboard without wudu as it is to touch the manuscript itself. If someone were to ask, the cardboard is something completely different and the manuscript is an individual item itself, then the noble scholars would answer, indeed they both are different items, yet they became united through threading. Hence Allah Ta'ala blessed it with the same significance as to the manuscript. It cannot be touched without wudu again because of the barakat of nisbat. The cardboard becomes valuable. Promise of Jannah to a tree. Imagine that. A tree of this earth will also be in Jannah. There'll be some animals that will also be in Jannah. And all of that is through the barakat of nisba. Istiwanai Hanana was a dry date palm. It was a dry date palm that had an affection and love for the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, for he would deliver khutbas while resting against this dry date palm. So the date palm had a great love and affection for the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. When a minbar, a pulpit, was built, he would then deliver sermons standing on it instead, sallallahu alaihi wasallam. This separation would cause the tree to weep profusely, cry profusely. Noble scholars have noted that because it developed a bond with the Prophet, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, hence it has been promised entry into Jannah, promise of heaven, Jannah, even to a tree. The dog's entry into Jannah. When Ashabul Kaf took to the outskirts and they were leaving to go to the cave, a dog called Kitmir also accompanied them. The scholars of Quran, the Mufassirun, have written that it will also be entered into Jannah in the afterlife. If a dog can be promised entry into Jannah after bearing a relationship to pious saints and awliya, then what of the believer who does so and attaches himself and has a great connection with the awliya? Sahab al qalbu ahl al fadli fanala min barakatihim. A she camel in Jannah. The same goes for the she camel of Hazrat Salih ala nabiyina wa alayhi salatu wa salam. She will also be entered into Jannah. None of the other camels will be entered into Jannah, but this one, simply because of the nisbat, association it bore to a prophet of Allah. The trunk of Sakina. In the chapter of Suratul Baqarah within the Quran, Allah Ta'ala mentions that two angels brought a treasure chest to the Prophet Talut ala nabiyina wa alayhi salatu wassalam. He states that in it was Sakina. Sakina is known as a special form of mercy and blessings that Allah Ta'ala sends forth. At another point it is stated, Allah sent down Sakina on his prophet, Surah At-Tawbah. The same word was used for this treasure chest, this trunk. And he stated, in it was Sakina and remnants from what the family of Musa and Harun left behind in this box and in this tabut. Carrying it were angels, Surah Al-Baqarah. Hence it is known that the special mercy of Sakina that is sent forth by Allah upon his chosen was also found in the remnants left behind by Harun and Musa. Ala nabiyyina wa alayhi as-salatu was-salam. It is established that a change in association leads to a change in value. From this angle, the significance of nisba in our everyday lives is immense. Thus, one should not only bear the right type of associations, but also value and respect them. He will witness the blessings of this right here in this world and in the afterlife. If we were to read and analyze the lives of our pious predecessors and saints, we can learn what the true value of nisbah is. The value of nisbah in Yusuf's eyes, ala nabiyyina wa alayhi salatu wassalam. People tend to value something when it becomes associated with them. Once during a famine, a young boy came to Hazrat Yusuf, Prophet Joseph, Yusuf, alayhi salam, and asked him for staple food. He gave him the designated amount, after which the boy told him something that caused Hazrat Yusuf, alayhi salam, to send him back with a lot more gifts and staple food. Allah Ta'ala sent wahi or divine revelation upon him and asked, O beloved prophet, what caused you to treat the young boy with such reverence? Yusuf alayhi salam replied, O Lord, Ya Rab, in the beginning I gave him the designated amount, but after he told me that he was the same boy who, when he was young, testified to my virtue in face of the slanders upon me, subhanallah. And this is mentioned in the Quran, that child who bore testimony to the truthfulness of Yusuf alayhi salam. When he told me that he was the same boy who, when he was young, testified to my virtue in face of the slanders upon me, I could not hold myself back and gave him all that I could. Allah Ta'ala sent another divine message and stated, O messenger, he who attested to your piety was given all that was in your domination. Bear witness, for he who attests to my lordship, rububiyat, and oneness in this world will be granted according to my dominion when he meets me in the hereafter. Hazrat Adam, let's look at our father. Ala nabiyyina wa alayhi salatu wassalam and the nisbah. Even requests or supplications, duas that are made, given the reference of something that shares a close association to the grantor, then they are immediately accepted when they have a connection with the grantor. The proof of this comes from the case of Hazrat Adam alayhi salam. After descending from the heavens to the earth, he wept, he cried for 200 to 300 years in humility. Not one day or one year. He wept for 200 to 300 years in humility before Allah. He wept such that if all his tears were accumulated, the lakes would fill. Eventually, he supplicated to Allah invoking through the personality reference of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Allah Ta'ala accepted his tawbah and asked, "O beloved Adam, how did you know that this person is so dear to me?" He replied, "Ya Rabb, when I was in heaven, I saw the words La ilaha illallah Muhammadur Rasulullah inscribed in your throne, in your arsh. Consequently, I figured that whoever's name is written alongside yours is definitely close enough to you. Thus I supplicated, given his reference." Allah Ta'ala then sent down a divine message that stated, "He is the seal of all the prophets and from your children and progeny. If he were not, you would not be. Laulahu lama khalaqtuka." It comes in a hadith that on the final day, on the day of Qiyamah, it will be Adam's desire, it will be Prophet Adam's desire, our father, alayhi salam, to be known. How would he like to be known on the day of Qiyamah? From the angle of this association to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Thus, the scholars write, he will be known on the day of Qiyamah as Abu Muhammad, the father of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Subhanallah. Adam alayhi salam would desire to be known according to the same nisban connection that resulted in the acceptance of his repentance, his tawbah. The blessings of the prophetic touch. Once Sayyida Fatima radiallahu ta'ala anha was baking bread at home, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam entered the house and joined her in baking. Thus he prepared the dough for one piece of bread. He instructed her to bake it then. After a while, she came back and said, "Oh father, all the pieces of bread were baked except for one of them. The fire simply does not seem to affect it." The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam smiled and said, "The flour that touched my hands, the fire shall have no effect on it." Similarly, a noble companion of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam states that he once went to the house of Hazrat Anas radiallahu ta'ala anhu while he was eating. Hazrat Anas radiallahu anhu instructed his maid to bring a towel. She brought one which was untidy, and it caused him to look at her with anger. She immediately went to a burning oven and threw the towel in it. After a while, she took out the towel and brought it to me, all clean, and I cleaned my hands. But I looked at Anas radiallahu anhu with questionable eyes. He smiled and said, "Once the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam came to our house and used this towel to clean his hands. Ever since he touched this towel, the fire has stopped having any effect on it. Thus, all we have to do is put it in the oven and it comes out clean." Subhanallah, that which shares an association with the prophetic touch has the fire to stop burning it. The best of times, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "Qayrul Quruni Karni," the best of times is my time. And then which one? "Thumma alladhina yalunahum," then those who come after it. And then "Thumma alladhina yalunahum," and then those who come after them. Thus the time of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam shares an association with him. That era was so blessed that scholars of Quran, Mufassirun write, the scholars of Quran write, that by stating, "Wal Asr," this is one commentary, "Wal Asr," And Allah swears by the time, some of the Mufassirun have said in Surah Al-Asr, Allah Ta'ala is actually swearing upon the Prophet's era. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Wal Asr. Allah Ta'ala swore by the Prophet's age. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Stating, La'amruka, by your age. At another point in the Quran, he says to his beloved Prophet, Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, La uqsimu bihadha al-balad, I swear upon this city. Wa anta hillum bihadha al-balad, and you dwell within this city. The reason Allah Almighty swore upon these things was because they share an association, a connection with the Holy Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. The meaningful incident of Hakim Tirmidhi. Imam Tirmidhi was a great scholar of hadith. One of the books of hadith that we study in all madrasas and universities is Jami'u Tirmidhi, alayhi rahmah. Allah Ta'ala had bestowed upon Hakim Tirmidhi, rahmatul alayhi, the hikmah of the world as well as the religion. He was a dweller of the town of Tirmidh, and his shrine is currently located on the corner of the river Amo. He was one of the principal narrators of hadith and a medical practitioner. Yes, a medical practitioner also. Not only had Allah blessed him with acclaim throughout his region, but also with internal and external beauty. In the prime of his youth, he was sitting in his clinic, as he was a medical practitioner also. He was sitting in his clinic one day when a beautiful young woman came and removed her veil. She said, because Imam Tirmidhi was also blessed with internal and external beauty, very handsome. So this beautiful woman came and removed her veil. She said, I have been after you for quite some time, and I've waited for this moment. Come, let's fulfill our desires. Upon hearing this, the fear of Allah overcame him, and he started weeping profusely, such that the woman became ashamed and left. Later on, in old age, after he had retired from everything, he was sitting on a prayer mat when the thought crossed his heart that once in his youth, a woman had called him towards sin. Even if he had committed the act then, he could have repented later on. The moment that thought crossed his mind, he started crying and said, Ya Allah, right in the prime of my youth, when my abilities were at peak, I chose not to sin. Today, when everything has become frail and old, my heart has blackened such that it desires to sin. How will I ever be able to present myself before you? In this state, Imam Tirmidhi fell asleep. He saw the Holy Prophet, Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, in his dream. And he asked, O Hakim Tirmidhi, why do you cry? He replied, O beloved Prophet, Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, right in the prime of my youth, the era of desires and power, I feared Allah to the extent that I cried in such a manner that made the woman go away. But now my hair have become white, while my heart has darkened, such that it feels all right about having sinned and then repenting. That thought came in. It feels all right about having sinned and then repenting, that if I had done that, I could have repented. The Prophet, Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, reassured him and said, it is not your own shortcoming. Your youth, that's not your shortcoming. That's not your fault. Look how deep this is. Your youth shared a proximity to my era, to my age and time, and thus the resultant blessings cause the state of your heart as it was. Now that you have become old, you have become distant from my age and time and era, and thus the thought of sin crossed your heart. That's why the further we go from the age of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the less blessed it is. Friendship of Allah and the Nisba. Hazrat Junaid Baghdadi, this is a story and a lesson for all of us. He was a great sheikh. His name is very famous, Junaid Baghdadi. Rahmatullah alayh. He was officially the royal wrestler of his time. The royal wrestler of the court, of the king of his time. The king had announced, public announcement, that whosoever would defeat the royal wrestler would be entitled to a hefty award. Is there anyone? A man who belonged to a family of Sayyids. And Sayyids are those who are the descendants of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. A Sayyid is a descendant of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So a man who belonged to a family of Sayyids was extremely poor. He knew that he could not overcome the more powerful Junaid, but he thought about his destitute conditions and decided to go ahead anyways. Even the king tried to dissuade him from the match as he entered his name, but he was adamant that he would win. Finally, the day came. During the preliminary bout, the Sayyid said to him, "O Junaid, undoubtedly you are the champion of our time, no doubt. And you are undefeatable. And you are entitled to the royal salary, no doubt. But bear in mind that I belong to a family of Sayyids. I belong to a family connected to the Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And the conditions in my house are extremely poverty stricken. If you were to let me win today, you would only suffer temporary harm, but our problems would be over." These words changed Junaid's world. He could have finished the match within seconds, but his heart cried out at the reference the man had given to him about being from the Prophet's lineage, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and thus he decided to lose. The match started, and after some skirmish, Junaid Baghdadi, radiallahu ta'ala anhu, alayhi rahma, he let the man overcome him and sit on his chest. The man proclaimed that he had won. Seeing this, the king became perplexed that something had gone wrong. It just could not be the way it was. Thus he ordered a rematch. Again, after a minute of tussle, the man landed on his chest and proclaimed triumph again. Now the king was furious. He said to Junaid, alayhi rahma, "I feel like making you wear a garland of shoes around your neck." But Junaid, rahmatul alayhi, simply kept quiet. When he came home, he told about the incident to his household. His wife and everyone else became upset and worried about what had happened to their source of income and the royal salary. However, Hazrat Junaid's heart was satisfied, rahmatullah alayh. When he slept that night, he saw the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam in his dream. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said to him, "O Junaid, you bore disrepute for us. You humiliated yourself for us. You bore disrepute for us. Bear witness. Now we shall exalt you throughout the worlds." Thus, the Junaid Baghdadi, rahmatullah alayhi, who was once a royal champion, became a champion of the spiritual world. Today, whenever the science of tasawwuf is mentioned, the name Junaid Baghdadi is synonymous. Servanthood and forgiveness. A man's wife once made a critical mistake, and he had all the reasons to punish her. If he wanted, he could have divorced her too. However, he thought to himself that he should forgive her simply because she was a creation of Allah. Let me forgive her. She was a creation of Allah and she served Allah. So let me just forgive her because she's a makhluk. Thus he forgave her. A while later, this man passed away and someone saw him in a dream. He asked him, "What became of you? How did Allah treat you?" He replied, "Allah Ta'ala forgave me." Upon inquiry, he said, "Once my wife had caused me some loss, but I forgave her simply because she was one of Allah's servants. Allah Ta'ala acknowledged this act of mine and forgave me because I also was one of his servants." Imam Razi and the blessings of Bismillah. Imam Razi is one of the great Mufassirun. He wrote, which is known as At-Tafsir al-Kabir by Imam al-Razi, Fakhruddin al-Razi, Nawarallahu maraqidahum. Imam Razi alayhi rahmah comments in the Quran regarding the verse of Surah al-Hud. He says that Allah Ta'ala ordered the Prophet Nuh alayhi salam, to say the words, Bismillahi majriha. When he wanted his ship to move, he must say the words, Bismillahi majriha. And he must say the words, Bismillahi mursaha. Bismillahi mursaha. When he wanted it to stop. And thus he would guide, Prophet Nuh alayhi salam would guide away his ship that held all his nation from the mighty sea storm that engulfed the entire earth, according to the Quran. Imam Razi, alayhi rahma, in his commentary states that it is a worthy notice that Allah Ta'ala granted Nuh, ala nabiyina wa alayhi salatu wassalam, he granted Nuh with the two words of Bismillah, Bismillahi majreha, when he wanted the ship to go, and Bismillahi mursaha, when he wanted the ship to stop. And these two sufficed him. His entire nation and his ship against the mightiest sea storm. That sufficed him. Then why can't this ummah, under the leadership of the beloved Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, be sufficed against the mighty tribulation of hellfire, when Allah Ta'ala has granted us the whole entire Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim? Allah gave us the whole thing. Whole Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. The pious predecessors and the nisbah, the pious people and the saints, the awliya of this ummah, have set great examples of value in divine associations. Following are some, bread and the nisbah. A pious saint would always prefer to eat all pieces of bread before eating the freshly baked ones. Someone once inquired about this habit, to which he said, "I always tell my heart before eating that, O heart, you can derive pleasure by eating the tender and warm bread first. But the reality is that the stale ones were baked earlier and thus share a proximity to the time of the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, in contrast to the freshly baked ones." So as every day passes by, we are going further and further away from his age and his time. And thus I chose to eat the stale bread first, because it's still closer to the Prophet's time than the freshly baked ones. Subhanallah. Truly pious people value the minutest things when it comes to the nisbah and connection of something. Hazrat Umar and the nisbah. During the reign of his khilafat, Hazrat Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu fixed the stipend of his son Abdullah ibn Umar radiallahu anhu, lesser to the stipend of Usama ibn Zayd radiallahu anhu. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam used to treat Usama as his own son radiallahu anhu. Hazrat Abdullah ibn Umar radiallahu anhu once asked his father, "Oh father, Allah ta'ala has exalted me in terms of knowledge," because he was very knowledgeable, "but my stipend is lesser to that of Usama's radiallahu anhu." Hazrat Umar radiallahu anhu replied, "O son, Usama was dearer to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam than yourself, and Usama's father was dearer to the Prophet than even your father." Allahu Akbar. A golden habit of some mashayikh. Some of the mashayikh, when a sahibun nisbah, a person who has nisbah, would come to their home, they would bring the food whilst holding it on top of their heads. It was obviously possible to do it simply holding it in their hands, but because of their respect for the nisbah that these people carry, they would hold it on top of their heads. The value of a sahibun nisbah's gift. Two sahibun nisbah saints who had this gift of nisbah, they were close friends. One of them decided to visit the other and wanted to take a gift to his house, because it comes in a hadith that tahadu tahabu, give gifts, it increases love. Hadith. He did not have anything, but he did have sincerity in his heart. Thus he decided to head for the woods and take some firewood for his friend. He went to the forest, chopped some wood, and made a bundle that he took to his friend's house. Once he presented it to him, his friend sent the wood inside and told his family to use the firewood in boiling the water for washing his corpse after death. Subhanallah, how he valued that. Valuing the nisbah and forgiveness. Qab Ahbar, a very famous sahabi, radiallahu anhu. He was a scholar from the Banu Israel. He was Jewish. He was an alim from the Banu Israel. After the arrival of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he converted to Islam and thus holds the unique distinction of following two prophets in a lifetime. Thus his reward is twofold within this world and the hereafter. Wahab ibn Munabbih states that Hazrat Ka'b radiallahu ta'ala anhu would always try to pray in the last row of prayer. He would look for the last row of prayer while everyone else would strive to pray in the first row, as it holds a special reward according to Hadith first off. So the students of Hazrat Ka'b Ahbar radiallahu anhu once inquired about the habit, to which he replied. Ka'b Ahbar said, remember, he was a great Jewish alim too. He said, "I have read in the Torah and other divine books that from the Ummah of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, there'll be some people who would be so dear to their Lord that wherever they would pray, people standing behind them would be cleared of sins. Thus I choose to stay in the last row. It is quite possible that I shall be forgiven because of my pious brothers in the first row." Thus it is evident that the pious people of this ummah have always valued divine associations and connections, even in the minutest matters. We should follow the same path and strive to do the same. May Allah Ta'ala grant us the ability to do the same. And with this introduction, inshallah, we will begin the topic. In fact, the topic has already started, nisbat with Allah, which is the purpose of the seeker and the divine to get some connection with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We will continue next week, Thursday, same time, same place, inshallah. Subhanallahi wa bihamdihi, subhanakallahumma wa bihamdik, nashhadu wa la ilaha illa anta, nastaghfiruk wa natubu ilaik. سبحان ربك رب العزة عما يصفون Assalamun ala al-mursaleen walhamdulillahi rabbil alameen.
Social expectation drowns us all inside. What you have should be what I want, 'cause what I have just ain't alright. The clothes I wear, the way I comb my hair, how I live, oh,